Night was falling fast, and people continued to drink. Just as darkness threatened to submerge everything, some of the men present, without performing any specific ritual, lit the fire. That is how it had been in the past. Before fire became a powerful element in the rituals of witchcraft, it had been merely a source of light. A light around which women gathered to talk about their men, their magical experiences, their encounters with incubi and succubi, the much-feared sexual demons of the Middle Ages. That is how it had been in the past, a party, a huge popular festival, a joyful celebration of spring and hope, in an age when being happy was a challenge to the law, because no one could enjoy themselves in a world made only to tempt the weak. The lords of the land, shut up in their dark castles, gazed out at the fires in the forests and felt as if they'd been robbed. Those peasants were eager for happiness, and no one who has experienced happiness can ever again feel at ease with sadness. The peasants might then expect to be happy year-round, and that would threaten the whole political and religious system. Four or five people, who were already slightly tipsy, began dancing round the fire, perhaps in imitation of a witch's Sabbath. Among the dancers, Brita saw an initiate, whom she'd met when Wicca commemorated the martyrdom of the sisters. She was shocked. She had assumed followers of the tradition of the moon would behave in a way more in keeping with that sacred place. She remembered the night she had spent with the Magus, and how drink had hindered communication between them during their astral travel. "My friends will be green with envy," she heard someone say. "They'll never believe I was here." That was too much. She needed to get a little distance, to understand properly what was going on, and to resist a strong desire simply to leave and go home before she became entirely disillusioned with everything she'd believed in for nearly a year now. She looked for Wicca and saw her talking and laughing with some of the guests. The number of people dancing round the fire was growing larger all the time. Some were clapping and singing, accompanied by others keeping time by beating on the empty bottles with sticks or keys. "I need to go for a walk," she told Lawrence. A group of people had gathered round him, fascinated by what he was telling them about ancient stars and the miracles of modern physics. However, he immediately stopped talking and asked, "Would you like me to come with you?" "No, I'd rather be alone." She left the group and headed off into the forest. The voices were growing ever louder and more raucous, and everything, the drunkenness, the comments, the people playing at being witches and wizards around the fire, became mixed up in her head. She had waited so long for this night, but it was turning out to be just another party, like one of those charity dues, where people eat, get drunk, tell jokes, and then make speeches about the need to help the Indians in the Southern Hemisphere or the seals at the North Pole. She began walking through the forest, always keeping within sight of the fire. She walked along a path that gave her a view from above the central stone. However, seen from high up, the view was even more disappointing. Wicca was busy circulating among the different groups, asking if everything was all right. People were dancing around the fire. A few couples were already exchanging their first drunken kisses. Lawrence was talking animatedly to two men, perhaps about things that would have been fine in the setting of a bar, but not at a celebration like this. A latecomer entered the wood, a stranger attracted by the noise in search of a little fun. She recognized his way of walking. The Magus. Startled, Brita began running back down the path. She wanted to reach him before he got to the party. She needed him to help her, as he had before. She needed to understand the meaning of what was going on there.